Zman is the only thing that's not recyclable. So we're going to chaparayin a keta of halachas, and b'lin eder will try once a week to do Megillas Eicha, which we didn't really do properly in yeshiva. So we'll do one day a week some Megillas Eicha, and I was thinking we'll do Hilchos Mezuzah, which we haven't done in very, very long time. So that will be Geshmak, and then the place that we're going to for the summer, there's going to be a lot of mezuzahs there. A lot of different shaylos, I saw pictures, so we'll be able to take the halachas that we learned and bring it to Lamaise. So we'll start Megillas Eicha. Today I'll give you a brief akdamah to the importance of learning Megillas Eicha. And what it really means, learning Megillas Eicha, as a limud to really understand it. There's very few things that Chazal directly attach to the Geula in such a direct way. We know every mitzvah is makar of the Geula. Every ma'isa tov you taught when you're in not kindergarten, preschool, playgroup, I should say. Playgroup. That every mitzvah is a block, right? So you all heard that, no? Right? And it's true. It's Dvorim Amitim. That every single HaKadosh Baruch Hu's matnin, every ma'isa chesed, it's true. But there's only one place where Chazal come out with such a link of zeh keneged zeh, it comes to Avelus on the Beis HaMikdash. Kol ha-mis'abel al Yerushalayim zeiche v'lo yeh b'simchos. Kol she'ein ha-mis'abel al Yerushalayim chas v'sholom, we know what Chazal are implying here. That in order to be zeiche, to be roye, the simcha of the Beis HaMikdash, you have to be mis'abel. So we have to think about that before we start Sefer Eicha, Megillas Eicha. We have to understand what that means. So the way to understand that better, the first step is to say, how could there be such an einish for such a thing? Very similar to what Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, often would say over from Rav Chaim Briskel. He would say, the uniqueness of the Yud Gimel Ikrim is that if somebody Chas V'Sholem doesn't believe in one of these Yud Gimel Ikrim, Ein Lo Chelek B'Elokei Yisrael, he's out of the fold. So Rav Shach said, Rav Shach asked, isn't that true about every mitzvah? The person will take any mitzvah and they would say, I don't believe in that mitzvah and I don't keep that mitzvah. It's a big difference. Keeping and believing is two different things. I don't believe in this mitzvah. That this mitzvah comes from HaShemayim. He's quite from my Tzvay Teras Moshe. So Rav Shach said, B'Shem Rav Chaim. So what's special about the Yud Gimel Ikrim? The Rambam tries to make the Yud Gimel Ikrim so important, these 13 principles. Because here, if you deny one of them, you're gone. Is that true about everything? So Rav Shach said over from Rav Chaim that these Yud Gimel Ikrim establish who we are. Which means, even if a person unwittingly doesn't believe in one of these 13 principles, they're not in the fold. Another mitzvah, let's say a guy doesn't believe in because he doesn't know about it. Doesn't know about mitzvah sukkah. See, he doesn't believe that there's such a mitzvah as sukkah. Doesn't believe such a mitzvah as sukkah, doesn't know about it, he had no reason to assume that it's true. Somebody came over to him, told him, you know, there's such a thing. He said, nah, I don't believe you. There's no mitzvah sukkah. So Yud Gimel Ikrim, which means what's behind this Reb Chaim? What's behind this Reb Chaim is that the Yud Gimel Ikrim make up the dynamic, the DNA of a Jew. It's the DNA. You need this for your functionality. So you can't say, well, I don't have it. I'm b'shegig, I forgot my heart somewhere. If you forgot your heart somewhere, b'shegig, so you're not alive. Yeah, but it was only b'shegig. I didn't know that they take out the heart over there. Right? But the mice have echot shegig ve'echot meizid b'heart removal. If your heart's gone, you're not alive. There are certain organs that are... Now, if you went someplace and they took off, chas v'shalom, your leg, so... You're still alive. You could not be alive. Do chas v'shalom if they don't patch it up, but you could be alive. This is the structure. So it seems. So when we talk about somebody's not misabel beis hamikdash, chas v'shalom, can't see the geula, and is zeichav roim b'simchas, right? Well, Chazal, this can't be a einish, can't be a punishment. Because really, what aveira did he do? Let's think about it. I'm asking you a question. What aveira did a person do that wasn't misabel on the Beis HaMikdash? Point to it. There's 613 mitzvahs. Take out your Sefer mitzvahs to the Rambam. Take out your Ramban. Take out your Bahag. Take out a cowboy. Take out a smag. Take out what you want. Sefer mitzvahs, HaKos, HaChavetz Chaim, whatever you like. Fine. Point me what mitzvah you didn't keep. What mitzvah were you mevakel? So you're a yid who mamish kept hayag mitzvahs. We could call you a tzaddik. Karada, you were a misabel on the Beis HaMikdash. You didn't mourn over the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. It is a pasuk and sisu. Sisu b'okol misablim aleo. A pasuk in divrei Kabbalah. But where, why, what was I over? There's indications from some psukim that you have to remember. What big thing did I do? We would understand better. Call me Shalayachal Cholent B'Shabbos. Lo Yizke V'Yidah. Cholent, no Cholent on Shabbos, B'Shabbos can eat. What kind of yid are you? You never ate child on Shabbos. Especially if you're yeshiva bachar. You have to be bedek if it's... If over the ima yom du b'har Sinai. You don't have a tithe of a child. What's with you? But think about it. Even little things. If Chazal would tell us somebody's not nizur b'sholosh sinis b'Shabbos. Even that would be a pella. Lo yizke. He's not going to see the binyan beis hamikdash. Because he wasn't careful with the three meals on Shabbat. But at least we would have a clear halacha that he's being mavak. Guy doesn't make kiddush on Shabbat. Okay, at least he's not. He's mavak al zochus yom Shabbat l'kadosh. This is much less than that, you would think. But yet it's so fundamental that mamish, somebody who doesn't misabel Yerushalayim, how do we understand that? So that's why I'm telling you, Rabbi Yisai, by me it was always a Dover Pashat. It was a Dover Pashat. And I really got this understanding from a Shatzi Yulevitz, Zechatzadik, Levroch, and a Maggid from Yerushalayim. He said something over B'Shem, a Moshul from the Duvin and Maggid, and it gave me this much better understanding that I felt that when Chazal tell us, Kol ha-misabel al Yerushalayim, Zeiche v'roye, v'chol she'enim misabel, lo yizke v'yir, it's not a punishment. It's a metzias. It's not a punishment. It's a metzias. And I'm going to explain it to you on a level I think all of you will be able to appreciate it. Understand it and appreciate what I mean when I say it's not a punishment. It's a fact. It's a matzav. It's a metzias. It's a cause and effect. What it means. Kol she'enim misabel Yerushalayim is doing it. The pshat Rabbi Yisai is he gives a marshal. The pshat Siyu the Levitch brings a marshal. Duba the Magid. That in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, whether it was a ma'aser show you or not, I can't tell you. But this is the ma'aser. The ma'aser was that there was an Amoritz farmer. An Amoritz she'en kamoyu. The guy Mamish was a blinda Amoritz. He knew from nothing. You have to understand what Amoratz is. You guys, Baruch Hashem, don't know what it means. Real Amoratz. I was telling the Olam we celebrated Hachnas Sefer yesterday in Shul. I told the Olam over a Maisa from Rav Leizer Silber. Rav Leizer Silber said there was a shul in America in his time. You're talking about in the 40s. In the 40s in America, in the 30s and 40s, in out-of-town communities in America, Damaratzas, you can't even imagine. Today, if you don't know Pshat, in Ein Shlichut Va'Aveira, with the Bochon, you're stuck on Moritz. You talk about Damaratzas was not to be believed. This synagogue was an Orthodox synagogue, but you know, Orthodox synagogue didn't mean everybody's Orthodox. It usually meant the rabbi's Orthodox. And they were celebrating Achnos Sefer Torah. So the whole shul was so excited. Parade with the Torah. It's great. Anyway, there were eight old ladies in the shul whose husbands were very involved, board members, this, that they knew how to do needlework. So they all wanted to make the Sefer Torah mantel. What do? You have eight influential ladies. You really have a problem. First, you have eight influential anything, but if it's ladies, you really have a problem. And they all want to make Sefer Torah matlach. They all want to make the cover of the Sefer Torah. What do? The rabbi tried this. President told the rabbi, I'm sorry, we can't go against the ladies. But the rabbi said, but there's only one Sefer Torah. Can't put on eight mantles on the one Sefer Torah. So the president said, we have no choice. Let all eight ladies make it. And every month, we'll use a different one, and then we'll see how we'll split up the rest, and everybody's going to have their chance that their mantle will be on the Sefer Torah. Anyway, so they did that. They had one problem, the day of the parade. The day of the parade was going to be a big Sunday. Everybody's going to parade to the new scroll, to the shul. And all of a sudden, Friday, the president calls the rabbi. He goes, Rabbi, we have a problem. What cover is the Sefer Torah going to have for the parade? That's a big problem. All the ladies wanted a lion. It's mine. It should be mine. Make a girl. The rabbi says, okay, what halacha the rabbi? He said, let's make a girl. We're learning Kedusha now, right? You divide Eretz Yisrael, a girl. If you can divide Eretz Yisrael with a girl, you can't make a decided mantle for the party with a girl. Give out mega million, $500 million with a girl? You can't do a girl for this? The president said, no, can't do that. The only thing is, you and I, Rabbi, together, we'll take the responsibility. We'll be judges, and we'll decide which mantle is the nicest, and we won't even notify them how we came to the conclusion. We'll just say, this is what the conclusion is, so nobody will be able to fight the process, and somebody's going to win. It's like there's going to be almost like a contest. And unknown how they won. Anyway, one lady won, obviously. And she made a yom tov l'rabbanan. She was mamish thrilled. There was one problem. The day, Sunday came, finished the last couple of letters in the Sefer Torah. The lady that won, she's sitting in the front row. She can't wait for her mantle. They closed the Sefer Torah. Put on the mantle, guess what? It only goes like 3/4 of the way down. It doesn't cover the whole Sefer Torah. Too short. So in those days, if it would have been a skirt, it wouldn't be a problem. So it's too short. If a mantle for Sefer Torah has to cover the ganze Sefer Torah, what's going to be? The rabbi says, this you can't use. And the lady standing there, you're using mine, I won! The president looks at the rabbi and goes, now we have a problem. The Rav says, what do you want? It's not usable. You can't, it's a bizarre. A mantle is to give cover to Sefer Torah. You can't, Sefer Torah can't be naked. You can't take this, it's not doable. The president says, listen, this lady, we can't look at her. We can't, she's not, can't fight her. The lady looks and she sees her. She says, I have a simple solution. Cut the Sefer Torah. Could you imagine? She wasn't joking. Cut the Sefer Torah! The Leizer Silber says, if you want to know the Amaratzis, the president, here's what she goes, and he looks at the Rav Kilo. we got a whippersnapper here. We got a smart lady here. And Shetaka. So the Rav showed him that if you cut off that part, the letters are there. It's not just the gvil, and it's no longer a sefer Torah. I'm surprised the lady didn't come up with the idea cut it in half, and then you have two ladies. Since you put there. So if Leila Silber, when he said over the story, he wanted it, he was saying to understand Amaratzis. We don't understand what Amaratzis is. To understand Amaratzis, and to understand really what the situation in America was then by the people that were not really religious, cut the Torah. This is a deep statement that this lady made. It's not just this particular Sefer Torah. This was the way they lived. Whatever you don't like, you cut off. Right? No hasogas. No hasogas. No shaykhas. The Dibur HaMagid said this old farmer was living in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. He had no hasogas. He was total amoritz. He never went to the Beis HaMikdash in his life. And the former Yidden that lived in his gegent, in his area, they always told him, you have to go to Jerusalem to the temple. You know, the temple is all, the whole nation, we go up. And it's one and three times a year, and it's so special. We live the whole year from that event. You got to go. He was there when he slept to Jerusalem. I don't have the money. Anyway, as he got older, he started getting a little more spiritual. You know, maybe before I die, I should go to the temple, maybe. Maybe my name is all right. He started saving money. 5 years of savings. He was really getting old then, but then he had enough money to go make the trip to Jerusalem. And he did it. Went up to Jerusalem. Anyway, he comes to Beis HaMikdash. What was that? I was up to Dubin Market. A bunch of behemoths. People wearing funny robes. Running around. A lot of blood. Mishpritz to my life to my gate to my was tutzachdo. It's a funny, I don't know, butcher shop, slaughterhouse. Was tutzachdo. He comes home. He tells his friends, "You guys gypped me. You gypped me. This is what you sent me for." The Dibur HaMagid said, "Do you understand what's going on?" He said his neighbors didn't realize that because he wasn't taken to Hakel when he was a little boy, Laman Yishim over Yiru, they didn't realize that at age 70, he wasn't missing his trip to Jerusalem. There was no Jerusalem by him. He didn't know what it was worth. What he was really missing was that there was no Jerusalem by him. Not that he didn't go there. He, there's no Jerusalem there. Hello? Nobody home. That was the issue. Chazal are telling us, Avad, if you kept the whole Torah, and you kept Shulchan Aruch, you weren't over anything, but you never went through Megillas Eicha, you never thought about the Beis HaMikdash, you never thought about what it was like to have a Beis HaMikdash. You never thought about what it's like not to have a Beis HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash will get up, how are you going to be able to participate in that joy? You don't even know what it is. You don't know what it is. You're not going to even, the sad part is going to be, Chas v'sham, you'd be like that farmer. You're going to go, so this is what everybody was waiting for? You don't understand it, Bechla. You have no avana. There was a guy who was once giving a shir in Eretz Yisrael, one of these kibbutz arochim. And a lady comes over to me after the shir and she tells him, Rabbi, I have a son, did this. They do tremendous amount of kibbutz in Eretz Yisrael. Tremendous. These seminars. And she says, Rabbi, she says, I have a very sad case. We're from the Soviet Union originally. We made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. She said, you know, we weren't so religious. In fact, you know, very little religion kept. And my son, Ronan, you know, he went to school, then he went to university. And we're very proud of him. He was very successful. He did very well on his APs. He's good. But he met a girl in college. An Arab. And that's who he wants to marry. By us, that's a red line. He's a Jew. We were devastated. We're devastated. And when we talk to him, it's like talking to the wall. So I'm coming to you, Rabbi. What could you do for us? So the rabbi looked at her. He says, unfortunately, he said, my experiences with these type of situations, there's very little we could do. Once the boy's already engaged with a matziv, with a girl that's a goy, a shiksa, an Arab, and he already wants to marry her, there's very little to be done. He said, the only thing that maybe could work at this point, down the road you never know, he could marry her, they'll get divorced. That's what that more commonly happens. But right now, this moment, he said, sometimes through Torah, not telling him not to marry her, telling him not to marry her, sometimes you could just bring him to some Torah. And the Torah, he'll get to love Torah, and then that will change him. And he'll decide on his own. But if you're asking me, I should sit down with this young boy and convince him not to, that's really a waste of time. This happened, was before Shavuos. He told her the next Arachim meeting that we have, seminar, is over Shavuos. And it's going to be near Yeshiva's Kol Torah. And it's nothing to do with the Yeshiva. Because we have a full night program of lectures. In fact, the middle of the night, we take a tour. And we go to the yeshiva itself. We go upstairs. We look down the Beis Medrash just to see. And that's maybe if you could get your son to come to that. Anyway, she begged him. He had -0 interest to go to this event. But he was happy that his mother wasn't talking to him anymore about the Arab girl. She's crying and begging him to go to this weekend. That'll be very boring. Over the shine, we'll do it. Anyway, he went. And he listened to a lecture or two. Nothing really happened much. And then they took the tour. They took the tour. So the boy was an intellectual. He was fascinated when he looked from upstairs down, looking in, seeing in the middle of the night, hundreds of young men engrossed, coughing like we had here in Yeshiva, Shavuos night. He was misspoiled. He just couldn't believe it. What's going on? He wanted to know what's going on. He wanted to understand it better. He tells the rabbi, Rabbi, I want to go in there. He had a lot of brains. He wanted to understand what's going on. What are they so engaged? It's 3 o'clock in the morning, they're going Mishigah. He comes in, they're learning Bava Kama. Nope. So they pass by, there's two guys here sitting there, mamish, were coughing. He says, could they explain to me what's... And the Hanli, complicated sugya bava kama. And this guy starts, they start explaining to him, it's an ox that goes another ox. And this ox never gored before. It didn't gore before. How many tzepes? 50%. But you pay from the body itself, you know? He says, what in the world relevance does that something get? That's what everybody here is talking about. That's the ganze meise? Give me the, what's behind this? There's got to... So the Rav tells him, listen, this is not going to happen. This stuff, unless you really know what's going on, you don't really appreciate it. It's an ox with an ox. This you got to really... For that, you need to sit and learn with somebody, and they'll... He says, I want to do that. He says, after the holiday, I want you to make a... Get me a partner to study with me a little bit. Nothing to do with some kind. It was just intellectual pursuit. Anyway, for 4 weeks, he had a chavrus in Kol Torah. A guy in Kultur learned with him. And 4 weeks later, he told his parents he's not marrying this girl. Several years later, this Rav spent Shavuos with him. And he learned Bava Kama. married a from girl, he was only above a kama. And they were reminiscing. So they recently wrote over the story. What's the pshat? The pshat is that to go tell the guy not to marry an Arab woman when he doesn't know what a Jew is, he doesn't appreciate what a Jew is, what are you telling him? You're being a racist. This girl I met in college, she's intelligent, she's intellectual, she's refined, she's good. Gnomic! What's the problem? She marches with the Black Lives. She's Gnomic. What's wrong with her? What's wrong with her? Adarabba. The pshat is, if a guy learns Torah and he gets a connection to Torah, now he understands something. Now he understands what a Jew is. If he understands what a Jew is, he can understand what not a Jew is. What's missing? If you think about the Beis HaMikdash, and you think about what we're missing, and you think about what was there, and you develop before Mashiach comes, then you'll be able to enjoy what's going to be Mitzvah Shem. So it's not an oynish. It's not an oynish. Basically, educate yourself so that you'll develop an understanding that you'll be able to have the well of Havdolos. You, Baruch Hashem, can't appreciate it because you guys don't know what a movie is. A movie, it's something in the Goyish Welt. It's on a screen. A bunch of pictures moving around very quickly. It looks like people are moving. They're not really moving. Looks like they're moving. So this, you can have a movie in French, right? If you don't know French, it could be a gewaldige movie, whatever gewaldige movie means. For those that understand the value of movies, which Baruch Hashem, I don't, and the Lord should bless me that I never will. It's not that I never saw a movie. I was once a kid in America too. But I don't understand the value of a movie, I have to admit. Chotasi. But you could all understand, it could be the most gewaldige movie. Mamish, the episode, it's an episode, I know the people, what they call shtizel. One guy told me, if you missed one episode of shtizel, your mamish, your life, you're missing your life, a chelik of your life. Never, rachmanu flan, that's a rachmanus. And all those fellow in the Eden like me that don't know shtizel. Shtizel. Yeah? If you don't know French, you don't appreciate the movie. You're sitting there like a dummy. You don't understand nothing. It's a gate garnished. LMI, they have subtitles. Subtitles, you could already appreciate it, because at least you understand. For states, any guy, any mumchen movies will tell you, subtitles ain't a dermit to knowing the language. They're stuck on this and clearing it. And sometimes it's a minute too late or a minute too early. Has to be. We don't say by a movie, Terke de Dibuk. People don't. You must fasachas. Right? But you all understand that without a subtitle, then it's mamish dvarim b'teilim. And the guy next to you, who's the Frenchman, is sitting there, mamish, he's soaking up the ganze mice. It's mamish le'elu le'elu l'kol b'chosa v'shirosa. You think it's just ka-pa-pa-pa, it's a garnish. Kol she'ein in the Sabah of Yerushalayim, he's going to be watching something in French. And will have no understanding or appreciation. But if you're Misabah, and you absorb what the Beis HaMikdash is, then one day, Mitzvah Shem, hopefully sooner than later, we'll be Zeichet together to sit with our mouths opened, mamish taking in the glory of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash.